Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. We are going to talk about what's going on in California with Christopher Dorner and what the and the controversy surrounding that has occurred. Also, the breaking news as we speak here is that apparently he has been cornered in the San Bernardino Mountains in a cabin, and he's charged with three killings, but two officers have been shot in a shootout with him, they think with him. And we'll be talking about that. And when we return from this very brief break, we're going to check on traffic here locally and come back to all of our conversation nationally. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. And on our way to our conversation, I want to remind you to please join me this Sunday, February the 17th, at the Enoch Pratt Central Library at the Central Branch. I will be leading a conversation with Shirley Sherrod about her latest book, The Courage to Hope. Of course, Shirley Sherrod was the former USDA Georgia State Director of Rural Development, who was fired from her job July 2010 after a conservative blogger published clips from her speech she made several months earlier, which were a little bit misconstrued to make her seem like a racist going after white farmers. But I want you to join me there this Sunday, Sunday the 17th of February, 2 p.m. at Enoch Pratt, as I lead a conversation with Shirley Sherrod. It should be really interesting. And I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Educational Association. For the fifth year in a row, the Maryland's public schools have been named number one in the country by Education Week magazine. Visit MarylandEducators.org to explore what it means to invest in our students, school construction and safety, and the educators' programs and services that make our schools a national leader. That's MarylandEducators.org. We are going to talk what's going on right now with Christopher Dorner in California. It caused a huge controversy when it erupted and when three officers were killed and shot. And a former LAPD police officer accused the Office of Racism, in both in this case and in general. I wrote this long creed about it, and it's caused a lot of controversy with people around America and in California over the nature of racism in our police departments and in that police department specifically, and what and many people saying the racism drove him to it. Well, we'll talk about all that in a moment. Let me also just tell you that as we speak, he is now holed up in a cabin. Sought in three killings, as I said. He's in the San Bernardino Mountains and in a shootout with authorities. Two San Bernardino Sheriff's Department officers were airlifted to a local hospital. The cabin is surrounded, and deputies in Big Bear were there looking for a stolen vehicle report around 12:20 this afternoon and stumbled upon him, and a fierce firefight has taken place. We will give you updates as that goes on. And we are joined here by Julianne Hing, a reporter and blogger for Color Lines, Richard Baer, co-founder and chief political correspondent for the AmericanThinker.com, management consultant in the healthcare field and president of Richard A. Baer & Associates, Kathleen Miles, associate editor for Huffington Post LA, and Dave Lindorf, investigative reporter and author of several books, including Killing Time about Mumia Abu-Jamal, and founder of the online newspaper called TheCan'tBeHappening.net. So, folks, welcome. Good to have you all with us.
Hi.
Good to be here with you.
So as we look at this unfolding, and which we will be doing, and look at updates as they come through to let people know what's happening, and go to our phones here at 410-319-8888. Let me let you, if I might start with you, Julianne, and I just let's explore together why this has caused this huge split in controversy, sometimes along African-American and white lines, sometimes in terms of left and right, over Chris Dorner and his firing and the issue of race in the police department. What? Talk about your analysis of what's going on there.
Right. Well, you know, here in L.A., Christopher Dorner, his alleged killings and his manifesto have caused a great deal of controversy. You know, among the people that I've spoken to, his manifesto, which is filled, you know, is clearly the writings of an unhinged man, also includes a rather cogent critique of the LAPD. And among people I've spoken to, a lot of what he wrote really resonated with people. You know, his descriptions of discrimination, corruption, harassment of communities really resonates with people for whom that is their experience with police officers. And so I think that, you know, based on the interviews I've had with folks, there's really split reception that Christopher Dorner is getting. In some ways, he's been treated as a folk hero by people who see him as a person who's finally shedding light on the impunity with which police officers patrol the streets.
And Richard Baer, your take?
Yeah, I think the key word that Julianne used is unhinged. The Unabomber also had a manifesto which was better written and more coherent in sections than anything that Dorner has written. But it wasn't really treated in the same way as a folk hero with Facebook pages of devotion and people saying, "I'm Chris Dorner." He may well have been wrongfully terminated. But the fact that somehow the aspects of his termination or his accusations against the department are at this point trumping the fact that he has shot 7 people, murdered 3, threatened to murder others, is kind of astounding to me. That the basics of this is, to me, no different than the recent shootings in Colorado or in Newtown. We have an unhinged man who, in his manifesto, by the way, argues for gun control while he's out running around California shooting people left and right with his mini arsenal. We're talking about someone in this manifesto who makes an argument for gun control and applauds politicians for supporting gun control. So, I mean, there's only a certain level of hypocrisy that I think any rational human being can put up with. So the idea that in any way, shape, or form, this guy is being treated in any way other than as a murderous lunatic is amazing to me. It's just appalling, I guess, that the level of sort of politics in this country trumps what is basically a criminal story and one that we hope ends very quickly.
Kathleen Miles?
Yes. I think that it's important to separate two things here. One is the issue of police brutality and racism, and that's what people have really been getting behind and echoing similar complaints that Dorner has brought up, and separating that from murdering people. Most of the people that have been raising their concerns of police brutality and racism within the LAPD have not condoned murdering. So those are two separate things, and it is important and legitimate to talk about police brutality and Chief Beck himself of the LAPD wouldn't argue that it is worth reopening the case of Dorner's firing, which he has done, and has said that he's going to make it a transparent, reinvestigation of re-interviewing the witnesses. So now there's been a second retired LAPD officer who has written a manifesto, also African American man, saying that he experienced similar violations of his civil rights when he was an officer, and that's been getting a lot of attention as well. So, I don't think that some of the issues that Dorner raises are isolated, and I think that that's why this has been getting a lot of attention, and it's important to separate that from the murders, because if you don't, you're going to get the response that the gentleman just before me had, which is, this is ludicrous, which it is, to murder, but there's two issues here.
Dave Lindorf, go ahead.
Well, let me start off by agreeing with that there's no justification and no celebration of a person who is murdering people. Having said that, and living in Philadelphia with one of the most brutal and corrupt police forces in the country, and having lived in Los Angeles before, which is a paradigm of a sort of a paramilitary model of policing, I have to say that what we're witnessing is important, because it's highlighting the way the police departments in our major cities, and particularly in L.A., and also my own city here in Philadelphia, are becoming paramilitary organizations. And the reason we're seeing this guy celebrated as a folk hero by some people, and it's certainly happening, it's quite astonishing to see, is illustrated by the way the police responded to those women in the pickup truck. If you look at that pickup truck, that was a scene right out of Iraq with the spray and pray military rules of engagement that the U.S. was using in Iraq, which is why the civilian casualties were so high there. That image of that truck said it all. All the bullets that were fired at that head from behind, no apparent warning to even try to stop it. Those seven cops just wanted to kill the person in that car. And I'm sorry, having been in L.A., I've seen, as a journalist, I documented unarmed people being blown away time and time again. I was a reporter for the Daily News in Los Angeles. It happened over and over, and that nothing has changed. I mean, the point he made is really true. The people in the Ramparts Division, which is where I lived, were promoted after all the brutality in that division, and that was just one division. So unless it doesn't work to just have an investigation of his case, what they need is you need to have the Justice Department come in and rip that department apart from top to bottom and restructure it into an actual police department that lives up to what's written on the side of their cars, which
so
is
I think,
protect
I think
and
that
serve.
There are two big problems that I agree with you. The first is what you said, that there's a shoot to kill going on and not a giving the victims a chance to come out with their hands up. Mm-hmm. That's the first problem, and that's a paramilitary style. The second problem is these internal investigations when discipline or alleged misconduct arises, because if indeed a schizophrenic was kicked in the face by an officer in the way that Dorner outlaid in his manifesto, that would have made the news, and that should have been addressed. And it was never addressed, and it never made the news, because the LAPD conducts all of its investigations in a hyper-private way, and that's because the police union lobbied the state to keep all of those investigations so private, so much so that I'm not sure that the Beck's promise of an open reopen investigation is
that's
really going to be very open because of the law. But if it's so private, then we never know about it. You know, the Kelly Thomas case in Southern California, where a mentally ill man was killed by police officers, did make the news, but it quite possibly couldn't have if nobody was around and it wasn't blown up by sort of grassroots people and one radio station in particular that kind of got the ball rolling. You know, this cover-up is a big part of the issue.
So let me bring our other guests back into this, and I'll give you a little update here. They're still surrounding this cabin, by the way, that I've been seeing on the news coming through here. At 5:30 East Coast time, at any rate, vehicle searches are taking place on Highway 38. This roadblock. Police are armed and pulling people out of their cars and holding drivers to make sure that nobody's in their vehicles hiding. So what all that means, we don't know, but as we learn more, we'll tell you more. Let me go back to other guests. Richard Baer, I'd like to respond to what you just heard our other two guests say.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I'm not making any defense of how the Los Angeles Police Department runs its operations. One thing I will say, because I've studied crime statistics in cities across the country, is that I live in Chicago, and right now we have two times the murder rate of Los Angeles and four times the murder rate of New York City. So whatever else has gone on in Los Angeles, the number of gang-related murders and the number of murders overall has dropped fairly dramatically over the last 5 to 10 years, which is not the trend here in Chicago. And people here would willingly trade murder numbers for the ones you have in a city that's 35% larger in population. We had more murders in New York last year, which has 3.2 times the population of Chicago. So the police department, obviously, in every urban city, every urban location in America, have their hands full, and I'm not surprised at all. I admit that misbehavior occurs. I think the shooting of these two people in the car is nothing short of appalling. My problem is that the connection of these two stories is what has become the story. Making someone like this individual, essentially the spokesperson for the argument that there's something wrong with the police department, as opposed to all of the criticism of the police department, which can occur at any time without having a murderer essentially mouth the argument for those who have problems with the police department. So those who have been jumping to the arguments about the racism and the police state behavior and so on and so forth, rarely, I've seen in the last week to 10 days, have started even by prefacing with the fact that this guy is, in essence, no different than any of the mass murderers who have been shooting up movie theaters or schools or brokerage firms in Atlanta after a wrongful termination back in 1999 where a guy killed 12 people. I mean, there were other people who got wrongfully terminated over the last 10 or 15 years who don't go out shooting up police departments and the children of police officers with whom they're angry. And it seems to me the fact that the just complete condemnation of this guy should be the top story, as it is with every one of these other monsters that I mentioned, and it's not. And there's something wrong with it.
I would say, you know, as unconscionable as Dorner's alleged acts are, what distinguishes him from these people you've mentioned is that, you know, he's laid out a critique that he's actually not alone in voicing. There are communities, not just in Southern California, but all over the country, that work tirelessly to bring accountability to their police departments, their local police departments, and that comes in the wake of very brutal incidents. You know, here in Los Angeles, officer-involved shootings are actually up, and there are very high-profile cases that have been discussed just on this call alone, just on this show alone. And there are people who are working tirelessly to demand accountability, to hold their police officers to the standards that they're supposedly operating under. And you know, what we're seeing now is Christopher Dorner wanted some shine on these issues that communities are fighting for attention for all the time, and as unconscionable as his acts are, he's getting the attention for these issues. I do think that the LAPD response to what to Dorner's manifesto has been to very quickly dismiss his writings as the ramblings of someone who should not be taken seriously. And yet, you know, we did see the LAPD respond very seriously. The names of police officers and their family members were named, and the LAPD responded very quickly by providing protection for those family members. You know, folks who were named in the manifesto have been basically holed up for as long as police have been searching for Dorner. And so we see, you know, we're seeing the LAPD facing a crisis of legitimacy and credibility here in the community. And I do think that it is important that Charlie Beck has at least publicly said that they are going to reopen Dorner's case and look into some of these claims that are being made. I think that those sorts of incidents really need to be investigated.
The point that Mr. Bear makes about this being unacceptable to praise what this guy's doing, nobody's praising what he's doing, but, you know, it took the Watts Rebellion and it took the riots after the Rodney King beating and trial to get the city to take seriously the issues that were being addressed by minorities in L.A. and by the treatment of police of minorities. Unfortunately, sadly, it takes this kind of outrageous situation before a city like Los Angeles, and particularly Los Angeles, even addresses these things. There are people all the time. There are groups, organizations that are trying to raise these issues. They get no traction whatsoever. The city councils ignore them. The mayors ignore them. The political power structure ignores them. And then you have a riot. You have 50-some-odd people killed. And finally, they act. And in this case, you have a cop go unhinged. And suddenly, now the LAPD will not be able to duck the the fact that they punish the person that complains about brutality. And that's the standard operating procedure in the LAPD. It's a standard procedure here in Philly.
So let me get the voices straight. That was
I think that Charlie Beck saying that they're going to reopen Dorner's case is a step in the right direction, but I think something that we would all agree is that it needs to go farther into
Absolutely.
The underlying issue here, the transparency across all cases, and for him to admit in front of a microphone that there does need to be more transparency and that there needs to be, you know, the rise in officer-involved shooting needs to be addressed, and this not just saying, you know, he said that they're going to replace the truck of the two Latina women that were accidentally shot. Not just replace the truck, but really, you know, yeah, the health bills, the trauma treatment, and
they're going to be sending grandchildren to college.
So I think that, and I want to make sure that
that's the kind of statements that need to continue to appease a city that's pretty angry right now, and we're seeing that all over the internet. It's not just Dorner.
Yeah, right.
Just to jump in very quickly before we jump back to our guests.
Yeah, if I could just add one comment here.
Let me just read this.
This is sort of divided out politically reminds me of the O.J. Simpson case, where, again, where is truth in that matter? Most of the people who took a serious examination of the evidence were convinced that he murdered two people. And yet a significant part of the population was cheering the verdict because they believed this was a victory over the Los Angeles Police Department. And whatever the legitimate grievances are of a community against the police department, I think that we have a problem when people who are murderers are treated as somehow representative of something positive, whether it be the fight against police brutality or whatever other problems may exist within the police department. You do have to, I believe, separate. In our system of justice, there are individuals who are responsible for their behavior. That includes people in the Los Angeles Police Department and obviously includes people who are murderers on the street.
So
when I was a journalist in Los Angeles and I had my own weekly newspaper, I broke a story based on a cop who was a source that the Los Angeles police had a written policy that was secret that its patrol officers knew, which is you shoot to kill when you fire your gun. And I published that story. And the result of my publishing that story, which went to a long way to explaining why so many unarmed citizens were being killed by the police back then, was that Daryl Gates sent a undercover cop from their PDID, you know, Red Squad unit, to join our paper as a wannabe reporter and try to find our source in the police department. That was his reaction to an outrageous policy decision by the police department being exposed. And that's the attitude it's in the DNA of the LAPD. I haven't seen any change over the years, and friends of mine who live there, journalists who live there, tell me it hasn't changed a bit. And it's not unusual for most city police departments. Criticize the police department, and you're the enemy, not doing your job, but you're an enemy. And cover it up. Do whatever you can to not change the policy. And that is what we have today. And it's worse since 9/11 because everybody calls cops heroes, and they don't get criticized.
So let me just before
and they're much more
second, Dave,
they're much more paramilitary since 2001. So the issue is more serious.
And I just wanted to update our listeners who have been sending.
Let's throw in one comment.
Just one second, please.
Police are taking a lot.
Just one second, please. That I just want to let you know that
over the last 17 years.
One second, Richard. Let me just I just wanted to update folks on what is happening there. That stuff has been coming across and people have been asking to know what's going on, is that the LA Times reported that hundreds of rounds have been fired between Christopher Dorner and the police. And the sheriff has said that enough is enough. It's time to turn yourself in after they spotted the car and the fire exchange began. Nobody is sure what's happening, but all kinds of weapons have been fired. Just want to put that out there. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we have like 2 minutes left, and I'm not sure from the voices who we heard. Julie, let me bring you back in real fast.
To tens of thousands of people alive today who would not have been alive had whatever the policing strategy's been from 1993, 1994 continued, and the murder rates continued at the rate they are, the country is now about 20% larger in population than it was then, with a roughly half the number of murders. That's an astounding achievement.
Okay, Richard, excuse me. We have to break here. Richard,
with the police
could you please pull... Richard, I'm sorry. We have to take a break because we're at the end of our show, and I wanted to, Julie, let you have a last thought for the last 30 seconds. Is Julie there? All right. Well, we can't seem to bring up. So I want to thank all of our guests then for being with us for this segment. This has been a really fascinating segment. Julianne Hing, reporter and blogger for Color Lines. Richard Berry, who we just heard, political correspondent for AmericanThinker.com. Kathleen Miles, associate editor for HuffPost LA. And Dave Lindorf, investigative reporter, author of numerous books, including Killing Time, about Mumia Abu-Jamal and founder of the online paper ThisCan'tBeHappening.net. Thank you all four for joining us. It's been a fascinating discussion. We have to go to break. And on our way to the break, I want to remind you all the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. Stay tuned. We're going to come right back after this break and talk to some folks who gave their votes to Palestinians in Israel in the last election, and they meet for the first time on radio here. Stay with us.